Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening, I'm Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS. It is Friday the 13th. Hopefully you are still in one piece. My producer, Andre Holgate. On today's program, Sarah Palin is coming to Michigan tomorrow. The event is organized by the Americans for Prosperity Michigan. But is she really a popular figure among most Michigan voters at this point? I'll be joined by the group's executive director to find out what she'll be talking about. And also later in the hour, I'll be joined by the author of a book on a guide to teenagers on how they can become millionaires. We'll talk about what it really takes and if it applies to the rest of us also. But first, the U.S. House voting to repeal the new health care law this week, largely a symbolic measure, it seems. Also today, the idea of Condoleezza Rice as Mitt Romney's running mate being floated. Is that a winning team? And what about the November elections and his own reelection campaign? To talk about it all, I'm joined by 7th District U.S. Congressman Tim Walberg. Tim, thank you once again for joining us on the Capital City Recap.
Good to be with you.
Now, I know you are a big Mitt Romney supporter. So what is your take about this idea of Condoleezza Rice being a running mate? Even though she does support abortion rights, do you think she would be a boost to the campaign?
Well, I'm going to leave that up to Mitt. Condoleezza is a very qualified person, has done a lot of good things, is outstanding representative of Republican ideals. I think today the floating of her name is just to get another name out. There are plenty of others that are highly qualified candidates, and we'll just wait to see what he picks.
Now, do you think a female running mate would be advisable, considering the deficit he has in female voters when it comes to his race with the president?
Well, I'm not sure if female voters are simply pulled to a candidate because he picks a female running mate. I think they're far more knowledgeable than that, and they think along their own principled lines more than just simply being pulled because a gender is put on a ticket. So I think it's a person that has to draw their attention, that has to meet the concerns that they have, speak to the issues, and have a quality about themselves that says this is a person worth following. So I think there are a lot of candidates out there, female and male, that would pull in thinking voters of both genders.
What about your own reelection prospects? Do you expect to have any real significant challenge from your Democratic opponents in the race? And have you been doing any polling to see where you stand at this point?
Well, it remains to be seen what type of strength the Democrats will have. They certainly are running at a deficit on what the impact of the administration policies. We've had now over 3 years to see that the stimulus plan didn't work. The Obamacare package, as it's being gradually implemented, is not doing what it said it would do. In fact, it's costing jobs. It's discouraging medical doctors from staying in the profession. It's putting more taxes on people. The Supreme Court said it was one big tax, even though the president opposed that along the way. So I think along with the economy, the unemployment remaining high, not going any place where the president said it would go, I think it makes it difficult for any Democrat. But we're not going to take anything laying down. We'll keep doing what we are doing now, trying to support things that would produce jobs, that would do a turnaround in this country,
well,
and promote the economy.
You're mentioning the health care law, so let's talk about it. You did vote for this bill to repeal the new healthcare law. It is yet to take full effect. You know, President Obama said that the same kind of dynamics were occurring after the country saw Medicare become law, and there was this instant reaction to try to take it away. And now we're seeing the same thing occurring with the healthcare law. Is there not a real parallel there between the two programs and how there's this initial gut reaction to sweep it away?
Well, it could be. I certainly wasn't there when Medicare was enacted, but bottom line, Medicare is a real problem. The only part of Medicare that hasn't worked in recent years is Medicare Advantage because it's tied to private sector choice. But the president took $500 billion away from Medicare to fund this new entitlement program. And I think seniors, as they look at that, have to be concerned about the health of Medicare, let alone the health of Obamacare and themselves under Obamacare as they go forward. And that's, again, why we voted again yesterday. I know the Democrats are touting the fact we voted some 30-plus times already on either repealing Obamacare or dismantling or defunding aspects of it.
But are you not basically voting to leave 30 million Americans uninsured when you make a vote, when you vote this way?
No, not at all. Not at all. We're finding out the president said if you like your insurance, you'll be able to keep it. That's not a truth anymore. We're finding out that there are plenty of people that are going to lose their insurance because of Obamacare. Frankly, how so, though?
That's interesting. You said people are going to lose insurance because of Obamacare.
Let me give you one example that was before a committee I sit on last week, Oversight and Government Reform Committee, their ISIS committee. We had a group of small business people, including an organization like White Castle, a 91-year-old company. Since the inception of their company, they have supplied benefit package that includes health care for their full-time employees. They have 10,000 employees. Many of those employees are single parents, are young people, are even senior citizens. These people right now appreciate the plan they get, and that's why they work there. But if Obamacare takes place, according to White Castle appearing before our committee the other day, they said presently there are 400-plus jobs that they put on the table that they're just holding off on implementing because they don't know with any certainty what Medicare will do to them. But if it's fully implemented and they are a company over 200 people, they will have to implement it. And they said it will take up their annual income of this last year to pay for the required insurance coverage under Obamacare. For that reason, they would have to end their insurance plan and pay the penalty.
Isn't part of this new health care law that if there is a currently established insurance plan that it can simply be maintained without any changes?
Well, that's not true. There are mandated benefits that have to be in place. And if they aren't in place, then you have to provide those. If you can't provide those, then you pay the penalty and the person goes on the government plan. Now, when you have a poll that came out just a couple weeks ago from medical doctors indicating that 80% of those that were polled said if Obamacare is fully implemented, they would consider leaving medical practice because they don't want to be employed by the government. And they also understand that Medicare, with the funding taken away from that, is going to make it more difficult for them to accept Medicare patients. In fact, many of them said they cannot accept Medicare patients anymore.
If this is going to be such a catastrophe, won't we simply repeal the law within a year or two after it's enacted and we'll consider it a big mistake at that point?
Yeah, well, you don't repeal things after they're enacted easily. Look at Social Security and Medicare. We've got problems with that right now. And just the mere mention of trying to reform it and take care of all of those presently on Medicare or Social Security and look for something that will work better for the future for younger workers drives people in hysteria. So if you would do the same with this plan, no, we have to do it now. And that's why the Republicans continue to say, let's repeal and replace. We believe we have an alternative that would work extremely well, that works with the competitive system, that expands the market, that allows us to purchase across state lines, that allows small businesses join together an economy of scale with associated health plans, that expands health savings accounts.
But in a lot of ways, this health care law is it basically maintains the private sector health insurance market and just moves it into an individual level rather than the current system, which is tying people to their jobs and to the corporate level. Is that not a lot of the change that's occurring?
No, in fact, Obamacare or the Patient Protection Affordable Health Care Reform Act will ultimately move us to a single-payer system because having a mandate that says everyone must, and under penalty of law, purchase health care coverage, or every business has to provide a certain level of health care coverage or pay a penalty, and every person will be insured means that you're going to have doctors to cover those, the increased numbers of people.
Do you think that when you compare our current medical system, I mean, we have many instances where people that have coverage, when they need the insurance company to kick in, they're simply not helped. Obviously, we have people that are rejected because of pre-existing conditions. Do you think the current structure is better than what we see in Europe and in Canada with their socialized systems?
Oh, absolutely. And there are plenty of illustrations from Canadians themselves who come over here to gain coverage if they don't want to stand in the waiting line and they feel that it's detrimental to their health. No, I think we have problems in our present healthcare system. We have to reform it. but we have to reform it along a private sector, patient-centered approach where doctor and patient are king and queen. And to go any other direction assures us a failure.
Well, you're a congressman. You yourself have a solid health care plan. What would you do if you, for example, had a job like many Americans do that did not include health care coverage? And let's say, like many Americans do, you had some kind of pre-existing condition. Where would that leave you?
Well, it's a hypothetical question. I don't know. There are some people with pre-existing conditions that get health care. There are others that don't. And I think that's why we have to expand the competitive base. For instance, on autism, very difficult to get health care coverage. If we allowed competition across state lines where you could purchase in any one of the 50 states a health care plan, there's some entrepreneur out there who will say, you know, to provide autistic coverage for just Michigan, I can't make it work. But if I had all 50 states as a potential base of autistic clients, wow, I think I could have a niche insurance that would be available not only at a reasonable cost, but could provide me an income as well as an insurance company.
We just have a minute left, but we're at this point. It's obviously that the law is going to take effect. The Supreme Court signed off on it. What is your position on it now, other than these moves to repeal the law? Is there any concrete measure that can be taken by you and other Republicans to change anything?
Well, concrete measures will continue to be taken in the House. I think the people have to continue to push for the Senate to do something, even disagree with us and send us a bill back amended so we can go to conference committee. They can't even pass a budget in 3 years. We send budgets over them, and they don't even take them up for a hearing. That's a problem. But that doesn't absolve us from doing what we can do in the House, and that's what we're doing. We told the people we would follow their initiative. They did not like Medicare. That's why they changed the makeup of the House.
He's still there, Congressman? Well, I think we lost Congressman Wahlberg. The line is still up. I see it. But that
I'm
is
back.
Oh, you are back. Excellent. Excellent. You know, we just literally have a minute, but I do want to ask you one last thing because these are hypotheticals, but not really in a sense. You'll likely be reelected. The House will likely remain Republican. President Obama could also be reelected. Now, in that context, are we talking about another 2 years of this kind of a stalemate that we've been seeing, just the same thing continuing?
Well, basically, as Justice Roberts of the Supreme Court said in his ruling that went to I believe the wrong way, but nonetheless went the way it did. He said, now it comes down to the people, November 6th, what they want to do. It's a tax. We're going to allow it to be a tax. It doesn't come under the Commerce Clause. That would be unconstitutional, but it is constitutional for a tax. If American people don't like it, they can change it.
But
on November,
essentially 2 more years, if things stay the same politically, same group of people up there, 2 more years of the same kind of stalemate.
Well, I think the American people need to understand that could be the case. And frankly, I think that will encourage them to change the makeup of the Senate so there's at least a working majority there, whether it's Democrat majority or Republican majority, but nonetheless a working majority. And I hope they change the residents of the White House so we have someone who will repeal and replace it with a plan that works that the people will accept because the people still do not accept the Obamacare plan.
7th District Congressman Tim Wahlberg. Tim, I hope to talk to you again very soon.
We look forward to it. Thanks
so
much.
Thanks for taking some time. We'll be right back to talk about new developments with our utility companies as they move away from coal-burning plants. But what's really encouraging them to do that? Is it these advocacy groups that are pushing for clean air measures, or is it the companies themselves just deciding it's time to make a change? We'll get the details next. Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS.